Good morning. Greet each one. The precious name of our Lord Jesus. Glad to be here this morning with you. Invite your prayers on behalf of my voice. I've felt it coming on yesterday a little bit, and this morning it was pretty rough. So, yeah, if you hear my voice giving out on me, well then just pray all the more. So yes, we're glad to be here. Thank you for that beautiful commitment to the body. You know, at one point or another, we all made a similar commitment. And we all know that there is a part in that commitment, and I don't say this in any way to reflect on the commitment here this morning, but we all know there's a part that it's easier to say than later on to do or to receive those things that we commit ourselves to. So I just pray that it would remain beautiful through the giving and the taking. If those times should arise. And they do arise. That's why God has us in the body. The body is there for our well-being. The body is there to be that booster shot, to be that vitamin that we need for our spiritual health. So, appreciatively, I say, take the commitment that was given here this morning very seriously. That not just be words, you know, 5 minutes of them committing themselves, and then, well, as the Bible says, everyone does what is right in their own eyes. I'd like to begin this morning with a verse out of Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19, verse 14. David, in this psalm, he reflects on God. And who he is and what he's done. He talks about the law of the Lord being perfect, converting the soul. And in verse 9, he talks about the fear of the Lord being clean, enduring forever. He talks about the judgments of the Lord being true, being righteous. So he acknowledges God throughout this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. And we could spend all morning in this psalm of 14 verses. But I just want to focus on verse 14 just a little bit. David here concludes Psalm 14, or as it's broken up in chapters, the way we have it. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, I gave you just a little bit of that background there, what David is doing prior to that verse. Acknowledging God and who he is, what he's done. And in that context, in light of all of that, David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable." I sometimes wonder how much understanding some of these Old Testament saints had. We know that David was called a man after God's own heart for various reasons, but his heart, David's heart, his longing, his yearning was that his thoughts, or first off, the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart, that they would be acceptable in the sight of God. Now, what's the connection here? Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. The meditation of David's heart was what he was speaking, was it not? So David acknowledges the fruit of his meditations in this verse. He wanted the fruit of his meditations, the fruit, the outcome of his thoughts. He wanted those to be acceptable in the sight of God. And I trust that's our heart here this morning also. As we reflect on who God is, what He has done, what He is doing, and then we reflect on our own lives. God, I want the words of my mouth. I want the thoughts of my hearts, the meditation of my hearts. Lord, I want them to be acceptable in your sight. There probably would be very little words to be concerned about if there was no meditation. But because there is meditation, then there's a speech that reveals the meditation. Have you ever heard someone talk to himself? If you have, raise your hand.
I have.
What are your thoughts when you see someone and they're talking to themselves? Do we think him strange? Have you ever caught yourself talking to yourself? I have. I do it quite frequently, actually. I call it thinking out loud. You know, society would tell us that a person that talks to himself, he's not only strange, but he's not quite all the way there. Society would tell us that he's missing a few marbles. And that might be. But really, is it something that strange? I would say it depends on what you're talking about. And what you're talking about, as David here says, depends on what you're meditating on. That will determine whether it's strange or not. That will determine whether people will look at you as in not quite there. I'd like someone to turn to Ephesians 5:19 and read that verse out loud, please. Anyone. Nice and loud. Okay, stand up and raise your voice a little more. Speaking to whom? If we're all honest, we all do it. The activity is going on. The activity, the information, the thought is here. This is where we're, you know, in the inner man, in the heart of man, that's where we're thinking. And it makes its way to the mind. Now some, because they're very, very self-conscious, they're pretty good at not verbalizing their thoughts. But the activity, the dialogue, the conversation, if you will, takes place nonetheless. There's a communication going on inside, whether we express it or not. It's there. And the Bible tells us that we ought to speak to ourselves. But it also tells us what we're supposed to speak to ourselves about. I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. As we read this, picture what is going on here. Again, this is regarding the life of David. Beginning in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." Hey, picture what's going on here. "And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." You know, in a sense, I think it would have been easier for David and his men to come upon the destruction, the scene, so devastating, had they found that the people were dead. But now they were taken away captive. They were alive, but hey, where are they and how are they being treated? Can you just imagine the torment, everything that was going on? So they weep until they have no more strength to weep. They cry until the crying is done. There's just no crying left. You ever heard someone say, or maybe experience, that you cry, and you cry, and all of a sudden there's just no more tears left? I think that's what happened here. They wept and wept until there was no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, it says here in verse 6. We understand why. Now, on top of the destruction that he comes upon, he hears that the people are talking about stoning him. So it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now listen to this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The Bible tells us, take every thought captive. You think David had a battle going on here with his thoughts? Do you think David had a challenge on his hands right now as to the meditations of his heart? Do you think that in the midst of this, as he took, you know, stepped back and started reflecting on God, do you think that he found himself once again, as expressed there in Psalms 19, verse 14, God, I want my words, of the words of my mouth, and I want the meditations of my heart, I want them to be acceptable in your sight. I think he had that very same heart here. So it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now what do you think David did? I think it was more. Now it's just speculation on my part, but I don't think David was silent when he encouraged himself in the Lord. I think he spoke to himself. It's normal to do this. The world would have us think it's abnormal, but it's normal. It's normal. In Philippians 4, verse 8. I'm preaching to you a message today that I did as an opening in Concord some time ago. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Allow those things to be the meditation of your heart. If that's what we do, if this, we take all thoughts captive that come our way. We all agree, the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, correct? We can't afford to just allow everything to come in and we dwell on everything that comes in. No, we need to, it's a war. We have to exercise some discernment. Taking every thought captive and evaluating it, holding it up against the things that God says are good and true and right. The things that make us think, that draw us towards God. If we can put those thoughts in that category, great. Meditate on them. Because it'll make you a better person. It'll make you a happier person. Take every thought captive and see if it'll fit in that category or the categories given here. Honest, just, pure, lovely. Lovely in the sight of God, not the flesh, not man. Things that have a good report. Things that have virtue. Things that have praise. Think on.
on these things. And then let them spill out, yea, to yourself and others. Let the meditation of your heart come forth. Today, we want to talk about thought life. Our thought life. We want to primarily focus on, zoom in on, the effects of thinking negatively. I've titled the message this morning, Overcoming Negative Thinking. Negative thinking doesn't fit into the category of Philippians 4:8. Negative thinking has become very normal and acceptable, though, in Christendom today. And maybe I should qualify negative thinking before we go any farther. When I'm talking about negative thinking, I am not referring to having concerns. And when we have concerns, generally we're dealing with negatives. Right? We have concerns because we see negatives. We see things that we don't see as right. And so we are concerned, and rightly so. To have a concern for something that's not right is not negative. But what we do with that concern, how we handle our concern, makes all the difference. Just as an example, I'll just share this just because I've been in the ministry now for a number of years. And it's interesting how it works. Individuals with a concern, a genuine concern, they pipe up and they have a concern. And then thinking in the context of church life. And that goes beyond that, but just putting it in that context this morning. You know, the fingers all point at the leader of the church, the pastor. Oh, if only he would do this or that or the other thing. The fact that you see the concern is not wrong, but how you handle that concern makes a world of a difference. And many times, these concerns aren't even brought to the attention of the one that you're holding responsible for addressing the issue. You have them to yourself, and you have them among your own little clique of your own little group of people, and that's where you talk. That is wrong. That is taking a negative, a situation, a needy situation, with a negative personality or a negative approach, and you're not going to see any, or I shouldn't say it that way, that's too strong. You will less likely see positive fruit. Because what you're doing is just as destructive, even though you would justify yourself in what you're doing because you have a just concern. But it's destructive, just as destructive, and maybe even more destructive than the situation that you're concerned about. Does that make sense? We all know what this is.
A battery has both a positive post and a negative post, right? I'm not a mechanic. I was at Brother Merv's shop yesterday. Didn't even ask him because I found out he wasn't going to be here. But I was going to have him explain to us how this works, like mechanically. We know that without the positive, you will never start your car. You can have your ground securely fastened, but if your power source is not on, if it's not connected, it's as though you have no battery. Vice versa, you can have your positive on and your negative off, and you still are not able to start your engine. You need the function, the relationship of both. I asked the church at home, it says, what is the relationship or what is the function between the positive and the negative in an automobile? Like the power supply. What is the relationship? I'm not a mechanic. I don't understand it, but I do know that you need both in order for it to work. And I did a little bit of reading. And what I found, that the negative cable provides the ground or a return path to the battery. This battery in our vehicles, if it did not have the return path, the negative, the ground, you have way more amperage. When you start to turn over that key, you have way more amperage than what your car needs. And it's vital that the ground be connected so that the surplus charge, the surplus electricity, can actually safely enter back into the battery. Without it, it could be very, very destructive. Now, that's coming from a non-mechanic. But just a little bit of reading I did, and I thought, wow, that makes the ground actually very, very important in this whole connection thing. So it is with life. We need a balance between the negative and the positive in our own brain. I can't picture going through life not ever seeing any negatives. We need the negatives there, but we need the positive. Also, if it was just all negative, and sadly, some people come across that way, that there's hardly anything positive to be said. We wouldn't have a true view of life. Nor could we approach it in the right manner. When we're born, we are all born with a bent, a natural characteristic is within us that is either more positive or more bent towards the negative. Some are bent towards the positive, some are more naturally bent to the negative. That's how we're born. Negative thinking. Okay, now I'm talking about not seeing, I'm not just talking or referring to seeing some needs, but negative thinking, dwelling on the negatives, meditating in the heart on negative things is very, very detrimental. Both to your life and anyone to whom you speak in that way. Very, very destructive. Negative thinking makes a person a pessimist. A negative person can look on just about any situation and see all the... He assumes the worst outcome possible out of every situation, pretty much. That's what the negative mind does. The negative mind doesn't see the positive. The negative mind doesn't see the possibility of something good. They expect the worst out of the situation. The one that's thinking positive has hope. The one that is positive sees the very same situation. And yes, it may grieve him, it may hurt him, and he would have a longing for it to be changed, to be different. If it was an accident, he would wish that it had never happened. But in the midst of all that, he finds within him a heart that rises up and says, thank God that it's not worse. Thank God that I know there's others, if it's regarding a situation, that share my concern. Thank God. And life goes on. Now, if you have a situation, it's a bad situation, whatever that is, maybe you have something in your life right now that you would rather not have in your life. Which person would you want to come and speak into that situation? The negative or the positive? Which one? I think we would, if it's me, if it's involving me and my situation, well, I would for sure say I want the one that's positive. I want hope. Well, think about it. What you desire is what your brother desires. It's what your sister desires. So this morning, if you reflect over your own life, naturally, which one are you? Bent naturally more to the positive or to the negative? The meditations of your heart, are they positive for the most part or are they negative? It makes a huge difference, both in the home life, the family life, and church life. It makes a difference in work. The work atmosphere makes a huge difference, does it not? So which one are we this morning? If you are a natural pessimist, if I can say it that way, should you just accept the fact that's who you are? It's just who I am. And do I just leave it there? Do I rest in that? Is God content with me being content there? I think the Bible has an answer for us. And that answer is no. And I don't say that to condemn anyone that may find himself, him or herself, naturally bent that way.
If this is you, you're on this side, you're on the negative side of life, I want you to see this morning that God would have you on this side. All the way on this side. Because on this side, being on this side and seeing negative things, needs in our own lives, needs in the church, needs all around us. If we see them from a positive perspective, we are much more likely that we'll be able to do some good to the needs that we have around us. If we look at the negatives from over here, it's destruction upon destruction. Not very hopeful. So I've acknowledged, I'm not talking about being so positive that we never see a need around us or in our own lives. But can a mind that is bent towards negativism, can it be changed? Can it be changed? Scripture tells us that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. That means He can take the worst case scenario. He can take the very situation that you have in your life right now. He can take the very situation that you see as a huge, negative, needy situation. He can take that and make something good out of it. Right? With God, all things are possible. The one that's bent on the positive side of things sees that. And he even sees that God might just use him to help the situation over here. But he realizes that with God, all things are possible. It's not a hopeless case. With God, all things are possible. That includes taking a character, a mind that's over here, changing it to a positive. With God, all things are possible. So if anyone's here this morning and you're bent naturally to the negative, take courage. Take hope. With God, all things are possible. You don't have to stay there. I have said before that to be in that kind of a mind, it must be a very difficult, frustrating, joy-draining life. Negative is like a plug that's pulled and it saps you from the virtues of God. It does. The years of being in ministry, I've had people that have had a bent more towards negative than positive come to me numerous times, different occasions. And you know, at first, I began to hear them out. But after a while, I found in me no desire to be in fellowship with them. I had no longing desire. I lost that inkling to take the phone and call them up and say, "Hey, brother, can we get together?" I lost that. Why? Because of their concerns were invalid? Absolutely not. But because that's all they wanted to talk about. And I'm like, brother, there is more to life than just talk about the needs. Understanding, not neglecting or turning a blind eye.
But when we get together as brethren to fellowship, there's more to talk about than needs. We're supposed to get together and encourage one another and build each other up. If all we do is get together and we think on, we meditate on, the meditation of our heart are on the negatives, we're not building each other up. Rather, we're tearing down. I had one dear brother, young in the faith, and he repeatedly came to me. And I told him, I warned him. I said, if you want to talk about such things to me, you don't do that when we sit in the living room and I have my family around me. He says, you don't do that. And time went on. You know, we had our conversations from time to time where he shared his heart. And all went well for a while. And then I don't even think he really realized what was happening, but he was slipping back into the rut of thinking negative and dwelling on the negatives. And they would come over, we'd sit in the living room, and you know how the radar is high. I mean, you detect these things and you sense this is where it's going. This is where he wants to go. He asks a question, but you know, you see why he asked the question. It's burning on his heart. I steered him in another direction. We talked about something else. And this happened numerous times. And then on one occasion, I don't remember what it was. Might have been like a wedding reception or something. It was a bigger event function. And he comes up to me and he says, Brother Henry, he says, I've noticed that you are refusing. You've refused me to speak to you on numerous occasions now about, and he never said what. I said, yes. I said, and on purpose. He says, I want to thank you. He found his way back to being more on the positive side of things. Now all of a sudden his own life was prospering more. It was blossoming more. There was fruit coming forth from his own life. He says, thank you, Henry. Brothers, we do each other and sisters a huge favor. The term I've used in past is that we do not allow our ears to become the trash can of our brother or sister. We do ourselves a huge favor if a brother or sister, genuinely concerned as he or she may be, if we steer that conversation into something positive. There's a time and there's a place to address needs. Don't get me wrong. But that time and place is not any time and any place. Some of you might be wondering, well, why is he talking to us about this? Why did someone ask him to talk? Absolutely no one's talked to me. I have no idea what's going on here. I just know the makeup of man. I just know what man is. I know what we've experienced at home. I know what we've experienced pretty much anywhere we go and spend any amount of time. We have people on both sides, the negative and the positive. And again, not to condemn if we're here. But we forget, and especially the one that is bent towards negativism, speaking about the negatives. You know, the meditations of his heart, they're on the negative side of things. We forget the battle, the warfare that we are causing in those who are hearing us.
You know, me, as a pastor, you can well imagine that I had more than enough needs that I see in the church. I see them. And I have to work and come before God and do the very same thing David does and say, Lord, I want the meditations of my heart. I want the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. I have to come to God with that so that I don't approach these needs in the church from a wrong perspective. And now if I have brother after brother, time and time again, coming to me, and all they want to do is talk about negatives, you have no idea, or maybe you do, the war that you're creating in my own heart. When you do that, and if the person doesn't detect what's happening in his own life, and I've caught myself there, leaving a conversation, leaving a time of being together as brethren, and all it was is primarily talking about needs, negative, 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 negative. I go home, and upon my own bed, I find myself thinking negative. I find myself despairing. I find myself as seeing no light at the end of the tunnel. Brothers, we don't want to do that to each other. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. So try to steer a negative conversation into something positive. And if you can't do it, then remove yourself from that conversation, so as to not create a battle in your own heart. Sometimes the best thing to do with a negative situation is to remove yourself in a very positive way. Be the best thing to do. And don't go back into that situation until you can approach it positively. Consider the fruit of negative thinking. Just briefly here. Proverbs 23:7. We know this verse so well, but I'm not convinced that we altogether believe it. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or so he will become. Then we have to ask ourselves, if that is true, and it is, it's the Word of God, then we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a person do I want to be? What post do I want to be? The negative or the positive? Because if my thought life, if the meditations of my heart actually form and shape me, my character as to who I become, then we have to decide, which post do I want to be? If I want to be negative, well then let the negative thoughts roll. Make them the meditations of your heart, day and night. You're guaranteed to be negative. But if you want to be positive, then take every negative thought captive. Take the category of the scripture. Does it fit here? Does it fit here? Is it just? Is it lovely? Does it have a good report? Is it pure? Does it have virtue? That'll make you a positive person.
Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. How many people or times have you found yourself when you're thinking negative? Focusing on the negatives. Not just acknowledging that there's needs, okay? I don't know if I need to keep saying that. But I don't want you to think that I'm just all, that everything's positive in church, everything's positive. No, it's not. There's needs. But how many times have you seen someone or caught yourself when you're dwelling, you're meditating on the needs, the negatives? Have you ever looked in the mirror and found yourself with a cheerful countenance? See, it doesn't happen. Focusing on the negatives doesn't produce a clear, joyful countenance. It actually strips us from that. It saps the joy right out of us. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. To have a merry heart, you need to see positives. You need to have hope. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Exactly what David acknowledged, right? Lord, I want the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. David realized what is in here is what will come out here. And David says, I want both of them to be acceptable in the sight of God. Think about it. If you're bent on negative thinking, which then also in turn many times produces negative talking, just think about the robbery that you are potentially committing. Robbing the next person of their positive. You're stealing from your brother or your sister. Potentially. You don't want to do that. You rob. You're already concerned and maybe genuinely concerned. But now if you go and rob your brother or your sister and they lose hope, they feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Now you have another negative situation to look upon. So why are they so downcast? What's wrong with them? They were doing so good. What happened? And you don't even realize, I'm the culprit. I'm the guilty one. I had a part in bringing them to where they are. I'm just trying to make us aware of the effects of negative thinking. They are far-reaching and very devastating. Very devastating. Now we've probably all heard the statement that you cannot think negative thoughts when you're being thankful. Try thinking negative and
and being thankful at the same time. We'll find that it doesn't work. I've asked a question, asked this question at home. Where's God? Which post is God? Is God somewhere in the middle? Or is he one or the other? Think about it. God is totally, totally positive. As we examine God, as we examine the characteristics of God, He is 100% positive. If there was 1% of negative in God, or negativity in God, He would have not sent Jesus. He would have said, no use. I don't need to have my son go through all that. Because God knew that but few would actually receive Him. God's all positive. He says, I see hope. I see hope for mankind. I have hope for humanity as a whole. And I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to do it at my greatest expense. I'm going to make it available. See, God was all positive, knowing that only a few would actually accept His offer. Very positive. Let me ask you another question. Being on the negative side of life, dwelling here, is that a sign of newness of life in Christ Jesus? I see a few shaking their head. And I agree. It's actually a sign or a characteristic of the old man. The oldness of life. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do in our homes? What do we do in the church? What do we do in the workforce with the needs that are there? They're evident. How many of you know of some needs that you could, that you would consider to be negative? Like, this is just like a negative in life, whether it's church life, whether it's work, whatever. How many of us see some negatives? I mean, every hand should go up. What do we do with it now? Ignore them? Turn a blind eye? Would that help the situation? Absolutely not. The first thing we need to be concerned about is me. Me. And my view. And my approach. Before we can help, well, this is my suggestion to us, before we try to help a negative situation, allow God to work in here so that I can approach it with a positive mindset. If you cannot approach a negative situation with a positive mind, stay out of the situation. I say that carefully, but I firmly believe that, because it's adding fuel to the negative. Approach the negative with a positive. And then there's hope.
to rectify, to bring a solution to the problem. You know, I said before, a lot of fingers are pointing at the elders nowadays, saying, well, if they didn't do their thing, and I'm not saying elders are doing their job perfectly, and I'm not reflecting that on this body here, just in general. What I've found is, in my own life, we've had the charge, well, the elders just aren't doing enough. They're just not doing enough. If the elders would just... We've had that charge numerous times over the years. And what I've found very interesting, many times, the individuals that I'm thinking of from our own church, they've never inquired, Brother Henry, how's it going? What are you seeing and what are you doing? That's all omitted. That's all bypassed. They have no idea that the elders are actually doing something that they're not aware of. Secondly, when the elders do something that you know would be a concern of theirs, and you can tell these individuals, or at least I've found it so many times, you tell them, Brother, I share your concern. They write it off as in, yeah, okay, you're just trying to get me off your back. But brothers, don't do that. You have perhaps no idea what your elders are doing and what's burdening them and how they're seeking God for direction. But anyway, so you address the situation, you know, you've come to a conclusion on what to do with a certain situation, and that is frowned upon by the very same person that wants you to do something similar over here. But because it's not the situation that they have on their heart, it's not recognizing that the elders are actually doing something. Or the charge remains. Okay, they finally did something. But what are they going to do with this? Brothers, that's negative. And I don't know how it is here, but I know this is reality. Just about everywhere people gather. And I'm here this morning to tell us, let's get over on this side. Let's be connected to this post. So that together we can work with the needs that are around us. So first and foremost, before approaching a situation, make sure that you are positive. You're connected to the positive post, not the negative. If you're bent on being negative naturally and you're seeking God to deliver you from that, you're seeking God, as Romans 12 would say, having your mind renewed. Yes, that needs to happen in order to be converted from the negative post to the positive post. It involves taking every thought captive. If you're in that process, the worst thing you can do, and yet it's the most natural thing you would do, but it's the worst thing that you could do, and that is surround yourself with people of like mind that are negative also. Don't do that. Separate yourself from such company until God has translated you over to the positive side. And then be a positive influence on their negative. Don't look at them negatively. The ones that are on the positive side of things, for the most part, have absolutely no right to look negatively or look down upon the ones that are over here. I think we would all realize, if we're on the positive side of things, that it's a battle. It's a battle, and we can't fault anyone for being over here. But our desire at the same time is that everyone would move over to the positive post. So having said that, another great antidote, back to that little quote, you cannot think negative thoughts when you're being thankful. Thankfulness is a great antidote to overcoming negative thinking. Being thankful
thankful in every situation. That is a hard one for the flesh. Let's just be honest. That is a hard one in the flesh. Thankful in every situation. But by the grace of God, that can be you and I. And that gives us some credentials to deal with negative situations in life. Being thankful. I've used this illustration before. Your son, your daughter, maybe yourself, you get into some kind of a wreck. And it's pretty bad. It's ugly. It's a lot of pain. Broken bones. The one that's on the negative post, I mean, it doesn't take much in their mind. I mean, this thing escalates and it worsens, and I mean, by the end of the day, they've already had the funeral for the person. He's already buried. But the one that's positive can't even in that situation. Thank God. If it was one arm, that it wasn't two. If it was both arms, not his legs, thank God that his legs aren't broken. There are ways to be thankful in every situation. And that thankfulness prevents us from seeing no hope. Thankfulness prevents us from being negative. And I'm sure you've had situations in your congregation here, you've had experiences, events that have taken place. We could open it up right now for testimonies. I think they would testify to what I'm saying is true. You've had some hard experiences here. Let's not underestimate the power of thankfulness. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? For he is good. Secondly, his mercy endureth forever. You got two reasons right there. No negative situation, no negative circumstance changes who God is. No situation changes the fact that with God all things are possible. Oh, give thanks. That affects our thinking. I mean, if we're thankful, truly thankful, not just saying the words, well, I'm commanded to be thankful. No, no, from the heart. Be thankful. Look at the situation and be thankful. There's a power there that channels the thought life, that helps us captivate our thoughts and channel them right. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. Really? Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly being thankful. You simply cannot be negative. Thankfulness drives out the negative, as does light darkness. You catch that? Thankfulness in my heart and in your heart will drive out the negatives, as does light darkness. Colossians 3:15. Just kind of brushing over here. Says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye are also called, and be thankful. I dare say, someone that is connected to the negative posts, finds himself that peace is being sapped out of him. There's a negative charge coming in, and it's doing away with the peace of God. It does that. Psalms 147:7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Try being negative and singing. Try it. You ever notice that there's really within the realm of Christian hymns, and I'm not referring to, you know, what is known as Christian music out in the world, but what we know as Christian hymns. Take your hymnary and find me a song that is born out of a negative mindset, and it just dwells there and takes you there and encourages that. Find me a hymn that would communicate to you in that way. I don't think you'll find it. Not if they're God inspired. Now, we have songs that are born out of a very negative experience in life. And they talk about that experience maybe. But they talk about it in such a way as hope and light at the end of the tunnel. They don't drag us and wish us to be there. Not if it's God inspired. So try singing and being negative. Singing, the psalmist says here, with thanksgiving. First Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in this thing of being connected to the negative posts, there is victory to be had through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. Yes, we can pray to God about the needs in the church. Yes, we can talk to God about needs in our family. Yes, we can talk to God about needs wherever. But as we approach God with the needs, we are commanded in Scripture to come before Him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, we're supposed to make our requests known. There's power there. There's safety there. I think we'll leave it there. My heart this morning is that we would first off see the destruction in our own lives and the lives of others if we're connected to the negative posts. Secondly, if anyone finds himself connected here, that you find hope that with God, He can change your mind. He has the power to do so. With Him, all things are possible. He can connect you to the positive side. You can be. And the heart of God is that we would all be connected to the positive posts. And with the grace of God that is made available through Jesus Christ, we have no excuse to not be there. I hope I haven't brought condemnation on anyone. That's not my heart at all. But I think we live in a society where it's become acceptable and normal for Christians to be connected to the negative posts and go through life in that manner. That is not the heart of God. Where is the joy of the Holy Ghost if you're connected here? Where is it? Well, the negative person can say, sorry. The negative person can just simply say, well, it's the negatives that are robbing me. No, really? God has intended us to live in this dark, evil, sinful world. Or else He would have taken us out of this world. God has intended us to be here, but full of joy. Joy. Full of thanksgiving. Full of hope. So I trust no one feels condemned. Maybe challenged, but rise to the challenge. Allow God to translate you from the negative and connect you to the positive pulse. Remember, God is all positive. And because He's all positive, He can justly deal with the negatives. And so it is with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You here at the close of the service. I pray, God, You would take these few words that have been shared here this morning and use them for Your glory and for Your honor. Father, I pray that they would serve for the purpose of building up and strengthening Your body upon this earth. We commit them to You. We commit ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen.